Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Q&A. We're going to do some learning today because we'll be talking with Jessica Wilson. She's been on the hunt for things people leave behind at hotels, not for physical items, but for potentially sensitive personal information left behind on public computers found in hotel business centers. Now, the purpose of her hunt is all positive, but what she found over the course of 2 years is concerning. As a cybersecurity student at Embry-Riddle's College of Security and Intelligence, her ultimate goal is to raise awareness and help keep you safe. And we'll be talking to Jessica in just a couple of minutes. And after the bottom of the hour news and weather check, I'll be talking to an author that we heard from last year around this time, and I'm bringing him back for a repeat because I don't think things have ever been more polarized in this country. And this author is a professor. He teaches political science. He's also a very, very, very big fan of superheroes. His name is Travis Smith, and he's a professor you'll hear about at the bottom of the hour. He has written a book called Your Neighbors Are Not Supervillains. Even if they're of a different political slant. No, they're not supervillains. Get along with them already. Or some of the people at your Thanksgiving dinner table might qualify for that too, but that's a whole different story. So we'll be hearing from Travis Smith about why your neighbors, no matter how they believe, are not supervillains. Come on, folks. We got to get along here. So, good show coming up today. We have Jessica Wilson just around the corner coming your way on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And we stream live around the world at KQNA.com. Don't go away.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Fee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Finley Toyota Prescott's certified pre-owned vehicles are so close to the factory floor you can almost sniff the new car smell. Okay, that might be a reach, but the brand new Finley Toyota Prescott certified pre-owned lot is now open, and the selection is brilliant. Certified pre-owned starts with a thorough 160-point quality assurance inspection. Then, Toyota Certified Advantage brings you a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited comprehensive warranty, a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, a Carfax vehicle history report, a year of roadside assistance, and finance rates you normally only get on new cars. Since 1996, a certified pre-owned purchase provides peace of mind that only a Toyota factory-backed program can offer, with the confidence of new and the value of pre-owned. Over 5 million vehicles later, it's as strong as ever, showing the best new cars make the best certified pre-owned cars. Come see the brand new certified pre-owned selection, the smart alternative, from Finley Toyota Prescott and at FinleyToyotaPrescott.com.
Hi, I'm Jamal McCoy, and here at Finley Toyota Prescott, we are everybody's hometown dealer.
Looking for the perfect gift? Then look no further than your local Ace for lots of perfect gift ideas. Whether it's Steel, Milwaukee, Traeger, Weber, or Yeti, you'll find all these great brands and more in one great place, your neighborhood Ace. And to help make sure your gifts are under your tree on time, you can buy online and pick up in store or get it delivered from your local Ace. This Saturday, don't miss a chance to meet Santa at our neighborhood Christmas party from 11 to 2. Get great deals and more when you wrap it in red at Ace at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
Limu, I love how we're always looking out for each other. Kind of like how Liberty Mutual looks out for you by customizing your home insurance. So you only pay for what you need.
Limu, why didn't you tell me about the uncovered manhole? I was literally just telling you. Limu, I had no idea you could swim.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Ho, ho, ho. Step aside, Rudy.
Whee! Here we go.
Cottonwood Air Transit has been hijacked by Santa Bruce.
No worries, Rudy. Our route is the same as Cat for Grace.
We're dropping off gifts to Clarkdale, Verde Village, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. Verde Links will take us to Sedona.
As long as you don't forget our trip to Camp Verde and Greyhound through the Yavapai Apache Nation Transit.
That's it!
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit.
Ho, ho, ho!
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 2:06 for the third straight day. We're highlighting a cause at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, which is probably the largest concentration of really, really bright young people in northern Arizona. So it's really fun having these guests on the show. Today we have Jessica Wilson. Jessica, you are a student at Embry-Riddle's College of Security and Intelligence. Tell us about that particular school.
Yeah, sure. So there's the education we get, and then there's also the individual studies we can do, and there's a lot of passionate students that attend, and we can create multiple things, and the professors really help out with that.
Mm-hmm. And the College of Security and Intelligence, I understand, is fairly new at ERU, correct?
Yeah.
And what do you think brought that about? What was the need for this?
There's a lot of cyber attacks and hackers that are getting into systems, and it's being publicized because people are losing their entire identities to these attacks. And it's really important to teach students that want to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you grew up familiar with computers, correct?
Yeah.
See, an awful lot of people my age, what we do is we ask our grandchildren for help with stuff because it's still kind of a struggle for us. We just don't get the logic, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But having been brought up with computers, and you are, of course, very, very familiar with not only all the benefits of cyberspace, but also some of the dark sides. If someone were to ask you, what is the dark web, what would your answer be?
I'd say the dark web really refers to sites titled with the .onion, and you access them through a different browser called a Tor browser, and that's what they're really referring to. Some of the sites are okay, but some of the really no-go content is on that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, during the presidential campaign 3 years ago when Donald Trump was being asked about some things that were in cyberspace that were affecting, possibly affecting voting machines, he said, hey, it could be some 400-pound guy on his bed. I mean, that was his quote. And, I mean, when you're picturing some of these people, we make jokes about the guy in mommy's mm-hmm. basement, you know, stuff like this. But don't you find that in your experience and research, a lot of these people who are doing this, a lot of these hackers, are basically unemployed people?
I wouldn't say that, because the hacker community is very diverse, mm-hmm. and you're getting more like women in the field currently who are interested in STEM. Like, anyone can be interested in STEM, mm-hmm. no matter the age, gender, whatever.
But when they're hacking into computers in the interest of stealing from them, in terms of stealing their ID, stealing their financial information, do you think for some people who are doing this, for some of the bad guys, do you think it's more of a just see if they can do it, a challenge thing, or is it to make money?
If someone puts out a challenge and directly says, you know, come and hack me, then people are probably going to come and hack you. Mm-hmm. But it could also be for revenge a lot of the times, for like disgruntled employees.
Sure.
And to make money off of it, I mean, I guess you could. That's more of a black hat hacker, which is the bad side. And you got black hat, white hat, and then gray hat, which is kind of in the middle.
And when it comes to in the middle, I would imagine a lot of companies would be interested in the skills you have to test their systems just to see where they're vulnerable, right?
Yeah, in the middle is more so like you work at a company and for cybersecurity at day and then do more malicious activities at night.
And the malicious stuff would be to test where you're vulnerable?
Malicious stuff wouldn't. White hat is more testing. Mm-hmm. Black hat is more stealing.
So how do companies find people who can do this for them to find out how their systems can be strengthened?
There's a lot of companies looking currently for cyber jobs, and you can apply online. And there's also, they can be found, like cyber researchers post blogs like I did. And if the blogs get publicized, companies look into that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned briefly a minute ago STEM courses, and we've been talking all week with different people from ERAU about the STEM courses that are opening up so many more opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we've been pushing it for girls primarily because that was always considered kind of a boys' field, you know, science, technology, engineering, math, and medical, stuff like that. We're seeing more and more girls and women going into it. What are the benefits, do you think, of majoring in STEM courses?
You can get a job when you graduate. It's a big benefit. Yeah, a good paying job. You know, like what other people can help people. Mm-hmm. Definitely, it's a place you can help people. That's mostly why I did it. It's because, like, cybersecurity, I can help people with security awareness, and anyone can take a security awareness course, or anyone can create one who has the knowledge.
I would imagine, too, with a background in STEM courses and the kind of training you're getting at ERAU, you can pretty well travel around the world and be employed, can't you?
Yeah, that would be fun. I love to travel, as seen in my project.
Where are some of the places you've been? Now, the project you're doing right now, describe this project for us.
Yeah, sure. So I go around to hotel business centers, and I'm expanding it to any place that you can travel to. Like, even gas stations have computers. And, you know, the security on those computers, you never know. And specifically for business centers, they're what you walk into when you see a hotel, and there's a computer on the side, and there's, you can print out various different documents for travel-related stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like resumes, et cetera. And so what I've done is I've seen, like, what type of those documents are left behind when a person leaves the hotel.
So when they leave the hotel, what are you finding?
It depends on hotel by hotel basis, but hotels usually don't. It's, I think in my report I said that there was a range between 10 days and at least 5 years where data was still left on the computer. So 5 years, they still had all the documents saved.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I understand that part of your research stated if a bad guy has unrestricted physical access to your computer, it's not your computer anymore. True?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I believe that's quoted from a Brian Krebs article where he quoted the Microsoft tenets of security.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your research, you've talked about two types of business centers, connectivity zones or traditional. Describe the difference.
Sure. So a connectivity zone is when you just walk in and computers are right there. And then a traditional is more of there's a door and it's actually in a room, opposed to just in the lobby.
Mm-hmm. And when people go on to computers in hotels, as you researched, or on their own computers using the institution's Wi-Fi, there are all sorts of risks, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. You never know who's looking at what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few years ago, before I had my own account with an internet firm, I was going to a McDonald's to use their free Wi-Fi. And, you know, of course, when you use the free Wi-Fi any place, you have to log on to a network, you know, their network.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know it, when I went online, there were a bunch of different networks to choose from, one of them McDonald's, which is safe. However, somebody else in that restaurant apparently was online, and they had their own network they wanted me to click on, and they mustn't be very bright because the name of their network was Yellow Death. Now, what kind of person would accept being part of a network that says Yellow Death? You have to use a little common sense, right?
You should always, when you're at places like that with public Wi-Fi, you always want to confirm the Wi-Fi name, because people could also make Wi-Fi names similar to their name. Like at airports, they could, I think it's like free BOGO hotspot, but then someone has like Phoenix free, Prescott free, and then et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And don't you find, too, that hackers just love to prey on the fact that a lot of people are not real good spellers, and they'll just change one letter in a respectable name, and they got you, don't they?
Yeah, that's common. spoofing activities.
When you get an email, or anybody gets an email from someone they don't really know, and it says something like, it's something that's too good to be true, like, sign up for our free $1,000 gift offer. Click right here. Don't click on the link, right?
Yeah, you never, you always want to check, like, don't click on the link. And if you think it's legit, you can, like, usually hover over and see, like, what the link says there. But sometimes even that can be spoofed. So it's just to say, if someone sent you a letter and that's expecting you to check on the link, always go back to the original source, not through that email, and say, hey, did you send this to me? Am I supposed to click on this?
What happens when you see people who are spoofing other people's email addresses? Say if they've hacked into your address book, and you get an email from someone you think is someone you know, and then it looks suspicious. What are some of the clues?
As you mentioned, the spelling errors. That's common, and it's some, like, colors can change. Like, one part of it will be, like, you know, black text, and then all of a sudden it'll be in red and be like, I, like, need you to do this right now sort of thing. And any, like, sort of clues that are saying, you know, you need to do this now, anything that's trying to hurry you along with the process so you don't even think twice about it.
We are talking to Jessica Wilson. She is a student at ERAU's College of Security and Intelligence. We'll be talking more about her very special project in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live at kqna.com. More coming up with Jessica in just a moment.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Have you heard about Yavapai Regional Medical Center's exciting expansion project? There's a state-of-the-art health center under construction on the campus of YRMC West in Prescott. During the health center construction, parking may sometimes be more of a challenge. If you have an appointment or you're visiting someone at YRMC West, we recommend you allow some extra time for parking. And look for one of our volunteer cart drivers. They're ready to shuttle you from your parking space to the hospital entrance and back again. The primary and specialty care clinics you need. A kitchen for healthy cooking demonstrations. Advanced multimedia technology for preventive health learning programs. And lots of parking. The new health center under construction at YRMC West. Inspired by you.
Is that crack or chip blocking your view? AAA can help. Call the company you already trust for everything automotive. AAA Auto Glass Service is now available in the greater Prescott area. Their mobile auto glass technicians come to you to repair or replace your windshield and can help file your claim paperwork too. It's that easy. AAA Auto Glass makes things so much clearer. Schedule your service today. Call AAA Auto Glass at 855-AAA-GLASS.
Hey, y'all, it's Rosie. Welcome to the broadcast. Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Two great things that go together. Arizona Highways Magazine and Arizona State Parks. Both drop by to talk about the latest things to do around the state. Arizona Farm Bureau fills you in on filling your plate with Arizona-grown food. A visit from our High Country Certified Partners and lots more. So pour your favorite warm beverage and start your weekend at our house.
Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on 95.5, 99.9, and AM 1130 KQNA.
Hello, this is Teresa Brusso, principal at Granite Mountain School. Did you know in Arizona you can choose to keep your tax dollars local? You have the opportunity to invest in our children. Give up to $200 as an individual and up to $400 as a couple. When you give that investment to Prescott Unified School District, you'll receive that money back. This is an easy way to help our schools enrich our programs and help children in our community by keeping tax money local. Please go online to prescottschools.com and donate today. With your support, we continue to serve every child every day.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 221 with EREU student Jessica Wilson, who just completed. How long was your research, your program on this, Jessica?
It was 2 years. I worked on it, and I've been kind of playing around with it before then, and I'm still kind of working on it.
Now, your research covered business center data from 22 U.S. hotels in 17 different states, right?
Yes.
Did you let the hotels know what you were doing, or did you just go in as a guest?
I just went in as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the easiest way to do it. If you actually, because I just did permissions as a guest. I didn't try to escalate any permissions. Mm-hmm. I just used the computer as a guest with extra security knowledge could use.
And what I understand from your research is that log files, that is files that record or keep a log of keystrokes and sites visited, you had 50% of those. You also had medical info 15%, personal identifiable information 10%, and 25% you identified as other. Are people putting too much, like if someone uses social media, especially let's go to Facebook, are they putting too much personal information out there?
It's really up to the person how much personal information they want to put out there. But for purposes of looking into people, it's really kind of easier now that social media exists.
Sure.
So you do have to be careful who can see it. And I would recommend just having your friends seeing your profile, unless it's a more public-facing website like Twitter.
Mm-hmm. You use the term tailgating. Now, in cyberspace, what does that mean?
So tailgating is when you just follow somebody into a door that is locked.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can they get in if it's locked? Do you have their key card info?
Yeah, no, you tailgate them and they have access, but you don't.
Now, do you know of people, hackers, who will walk around with devices that will pick up electronic signals from people?
Yeah, I've seen that before.
And, you know, on that note, I've seen people selling, I think they're RFID resistant wallets and things. Are those effective?
Yeah, they are. I actually have one, and to get into my building at school, I have to take my key card out of my wallet because it won't read.
I'll be darned. So describe the RFID technology in that regard.
I don't know too much about it, but basically you get a key card that says it's RFID, and within that there's some sort of mechanism that matches with the door you want to get into, and once it matches, it turns green and lets you in, and if it's not a match, it's red.
You know, on the on NBC's Today show last year, their consumer watchdog went around to some people and walked right behind them with an RFID device and was able to start their cars remotely when they had that kind of technology. That's a little scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really scary, but it's also, for me, it's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole different realm of security is via vehicular security.
Oh, sure. So you have to be kind of a detective on this whole program, don't you? You have to see why that happened and how, right?
Yeah.
What kind of steps do you take to determine how did this happen?
There's a formalized process, but mostly, like, if I'm looking at a computer, I check the log files to see what's happened, and usually, like, the last step of the ethical hacking process is to clear the logs or clear your tracks. Mm-hmm. So if you have a good hacker, then they'll clear stuff, but there's usually other artifacts that are left behind by them.
And on that note, your number one piece of advice, I understand, is to log off your session and log out of all your accounts, right?
Yep. Some people, when they leave a business center computer, they don't realize that it needs to log out of the account to clear the session. And so they just leave the session open, and when that happened, I usually just walked up and sat down and was able to find everything they were looking at.
You know, here, being in northern Arizona, our population's a little older than the rest of the country. We're kind of known as a retirement mecca. Are you surprised by how easily so many people get scammed by, say, people calling saying their social security be cut off or their bank account's been hacked and you have to pay for this right now and use iTunes cards? Wouldn't that be kind of a giveaway?
You know, just some people don't know that. And if they don't know, like, you can't expect them to, like, the hackers, some bad hacker, you know, black hats play on fear.
Sure.
And the whole social engineering aspect. Like, I can call somebody and be like, oh, I'm your long lost grandson, and I've been, or granddaughter, and I'm living on the streets, and, you know, just anyone can do it.
So take me back to when you were just a kid. What kind of interest did you have that you thought might lead you to this kind of, this kind of schooling? Were you a science nut?
I guess that I like science, but I just like playing around with my computer and seeing what it could do.
What are some of the, now we mentioned the STEM courses before. I imagine to get into ERU, and especially to get into this field, you would need some specialized math courses, right?
Yeah.
See, as far as I ever went was algebra, and I couldn't even figure that out. So what are some of the math courses you had to take?
I had to take physics, and I actually did pretty well on that, but if you ask me a physics question now, I definitely would not be able to answer it.
Well, you know what? In my case, it's about 40 years behind, but I was always intrigued by physics and engineering. Never did any work into it, but recently I belong to this group that has the great courses on CD and DVD, and I bought their basic physics, basic engineering stuff, and now a lot of things make sense, and that's really the groundwork to work your way up into understanding computers and cyberspace, isn't it?
Yeah, because like physics deals a lot with satellites and positions and how signals can travel. And it's, I think DEF CON is going to have like a satellite hacking competition this year.
Oh, boy. And you know what? I was talking to your guest speaker at ERAU a couple of days ago, Dr. Holloway. We were talking about, aren't you glad that almost all of the people who are in this field are the good guys who want to do good stuff with it? But can you imagine when the black hat people, if they really want to do some worldwide damage, they can do it just with keystrokes, can't they?
Yeah, I think one of our other guest speakers said, like, when they build satellites and by the time they build them and by the time they release them, there's a large gap in technology that they're missing out on, and they can't update them from that, so it's hard to secure.
And that goes back to the old saying about, you know, here you're building a better mousetrap. Well, guess what? While you're building the better mousetrap, somebody else is building the better mouse.
Yeah.
So it's a constant race, isn't it?
Yeah, and in the design phase, like, the design for the satellite can always get stolen. Like, and that's another thing that's why security is important.
Yeah. Well, how can people learn more about the research you've done? Do you have a web page where people can access this?
Yeah. So it's jesswills.com. So JESSWILS.com. And this part of it was actually a capstone project that I did at Riddle with some partners. And it was really cool.
And what kind of career ambitions do you have after you leave ERAU?
I want to analyze people's security, you know, kind of the default thing. I guess pen testing is really exciting. A lot of people want to do it, but I'm also into computer forensics. I think my end goal, I want to be a expert witness for computer forensics to testify in law cases where computers are found so that, you know, the right guy gets charged and...
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because when I was a college freshman, my favorite course was accounting because they would teach us to be numerical detectives. Take this massive case. Where did it go wrong? You winnow it down to the source document that caused the whole thing. That kind of describes what you're looking at, isn't it?
Yeah.
You got to pin that down to where it all started, right?
Yeah, if you can always jump down rabbit holes and... You got to realize where you are and get the important information.
Well, we thank Jason Cater for setting us up with you for this interview. Continued success in your research, and you've got how much longer to go at ERAU?
I graduate next week.
No kidding!
Yeah.
Well, congratulations and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for stopping by here at Q&A. We wish you all the best. That is Jessica Wilson from ERAU's Cybersecurity School. And I think we just learned a great deal today. Thank you so much. By the way, I got to tell you, given the fact that I'm one of those people who was not tech savvy, I bought a wonderful book just a few months ago. It's written for people like me. The name of the book is is this thing on? And that perfectly describes my skill level when it comes to tech stuff. So it was made just for people like me. That was Jessica Wilson. Stay tuned, because we're going to take a check of local and state news and weather. And then we're going to talk to the man who is a superhero fan and also a professor. And he says that your neighbors who differ with you politically are not supervillains. It's a guy we talked to a year ago. You're going to hear that again coming up in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hi. I'm Sarah Willardson, librarian at Prescott Public Library. Prescott Public Library now offers internet access wherever you are. Wi-Fi hotspots provide 24/7 access to the internet with unlimited data on a secure network. Check out a hotspot today. Wi-Fi hotspots are made possible through a grant from the Arizona State Library, Archives, and Public Records. For more information, visit prescottlibrary.info. See you at the library.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
This is America, where football means football.
Arizona Cardinals football is live on AM 1130, 99.9 FM and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA. Brought to you by Affinity RV, Bradshaw Family Dental, Cliff Castle Casino, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Yavapai Bottle Gas, Wallach & Volk, Prescott True Value, and Home Furnishings Direct. The Cardinals host the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday at 2 on AM 1130, 99.9 FM, Prescott Chino Valley and Paul, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA.
Is your advertising being noticed? Getting the right attention means getting the right business. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we focus not only on customer service, but also highest quality printing and design that is sure to catch the eye. A&E Reaper Graphics knows how to design, print, and deliver what you're looking for in your time frame. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Wednesday the 4th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. Another day, another food recall. This time it's flour.
The Hodgson Mill Company is recalling 5-pound bags of unbleached all-purpose white wheat flour after the presence of E. coli was found in samples of the product. The flour is sold at Walmart. No illnesses have been reported in connection with this recall. The UNFI Company has also announced a recall of its Wild Harvest organic all-purpose unbleached flour. This product is carried locally by natural grocers. Anyone who has brought these recalled products should throw them away or return them to the place of purchase for a refund. Common symptoms of E. coli are diarrhea, abdominal cramps, nausea, and vomiting. More information on the recall is available online at yavapai.us. Click on the Departments and Community Health Services tabs. I'm Gregory Scott reporting.
Mostly cloudy with showers this afternoon and especially tonight. A breezy high near 49 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Then chilling to a breezy 37, clearing to partly sunny highs around 50 tomorrow, 54 Friday and Saturday, rainy and cooler Sunday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, mostly cloudy with a high near 56, then a rainy evening, cooling to 43 overnight, partly sunny highs Thursday near 57, Friday and Saturday 62, showers returning Sunday with a high around 58.
This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQNA.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment on KQNA.
'Twas the month of December, a December to remember. At Cliff Castle Casino and Hotel, something big is coming. So magical and bright, making every family cheer with delight. Oh, to see the faces filled with glee as they skate on our ice rink or sit on Santa's knee. So bring the entire family. It's going to be so much fun. An amazing experience, second to none. See you this December, a December to remember at Cliff Castle Casino and Hotel.
Hey everybody, it's Sanford Cohen. Join me along with Mike and the Doctor every Friday afternoon at 4 for Let's Talk Sports right here on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Tune in for all the latest sports news, interviews, and all kinds of fun stuff. It's right here on KQ&A. See you Friday.
Now that it's chilly outside, we're serving up chili inside. Hi, this is Natasha from the Grilly Street Grill, inviting you to enjoy our Toasty Tuesdays on our enclosed patio. Every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6:30. Fresh homemade chili in a bowl or in a bread bowl, and tasty cornbread with drink specials and live acoustic music by Sky Daddy. Bring family and friends, and let's get toasty together. That's every Tuesday at the Grilly Street Grill on our enclosed patio, where happy hour just got warmer. The Grilly Street Grill, Prescott's favorite neighborhood bar and restaurant. 230 West Grilly in downtown Prescott. GrillyStreetGrill.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. I have Travis Smith. He is the associate professor in the Department of Political Science at Concordia University. We spoke with Travis several weeks ago about his new book, Superhero Ethics. We're glad to have him on the show regarding why we need to rein in our divisive politics in which neighbors are treated as supervillains. We need to restore civility to our public disagreements. Travis, you are, of course, obviously a big fan of superhero comics and characters, and you related how some of those could save America. But I'm reminded of a quote from years ago that said, government works best when it protects us from each other. It works least when it protects us from ourselves. Do you see that going on today?
So, right, DJ. What I've been thinking about lately is the way in which it seems like we are orienting ourselves a little too much in the direction of what, from a comic book perspective, are like the great cosmic powers, and as if there's a great cosmic battle, and we are all enlisted. We fancy ourselves to be heroes, but we might be little more than henchmen and cannon fodder in a great cosmic battle pitched in a fashion in which, like on an old-fashioned comic book cover, where the characters are aligned on the two sides with their superpowers ready to blast each other to bits. And we have a difficult time seeing each other as fellow citizens with whom we might have disagreements, perhaps even stronger disagreements. And there are civilized ways in an ordered republic in order to deal with these things. But instead, we find ourselves lined up against each other as if we were ourselves superheroes and in pitched battle with people who we can't see but anything less than supervillains.
We used to tune into news to hear facts that may challenge our preconceived notions. Now it seems an awful lot of news choices with cable and satellite news seems to be an echo chamber for our own confirmation bias. Do you think that makes this problem worse?
And I think it's made worse further by the nature of the news industry today that profits off of deepening and worsening our passions and making us feel like we're so endangered that we have no choice but to have our attention constantly on the screens, paying attention to whatever they are selling us in terms of how horrible things are and how scared we should be.
And, you know, the case speech I like to point to is how Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, who could not be more different, would fight like cats and dogs during the day in Washington, then sit down to play gin rummy together at night. That's not happening today, is it?
No, I think it's not. The uncivilized discourse and the degree of fury that we see being played out in the centers of power are now being replicated across our communities, across our neighborhoods, across our social media feeds, in which the idea that we might try to have a civilized conversation to express and understand why we hold the positions we do, why other people have a different position, and then in a fashion that befits treating each other with respect, work to try to persuade each other to change our minds. Instead, we dig our heels in and get our metaphorical fists up and attack each other. Instead of trying to at least understand why anybody else might disagree, we've decided instead to give the people with whom we disagree the worst possible interpretation of their judgment, the worst possible interpretation of their intentions and motivations, and cast them in the role of the devil or the demon or the supervillain, because those are conditions under which we can, you know, conceive of ourselves as heroes engaged in some sort of valiant effort in order to destroy the evil in our midst.
Anybody who's ever tried to write a screenplay knows that even if you're writing a comedy, you have to create conflict. Do you think the national news media is engaged in that?
Trying to create conflict?
Yes.
Yes. I think that they have an interest in doing so.
Are they demonizing the other side, do you think?
Well, when you get to the point in which the only possible interpretation of the people with whom you disagree can only be that they must be the most ignorant and malevolent being you can imagine, then that seems to be the conditions under which conflict is being encouraged.
Now, you have a great quote here. It says, "Let's restore civility even in the midst of our disagreements. Refuse to be manipulated by those who have the power to gain or profit to make off our readiness to enlist as their minions or henchmen or cannon fodder. Turn down the 24-hour chatter channel. Stop refreshing headline aggregators and don't drown yourself in comment sections. My favorite part of this, avoid social media feeds filled with pride and fury masquerading as compassion and concern."
No, I personally stay away from the social media, but you can't help but, you know, seeing it everywhere anyway. And it is concerning how much of your lived life daily experience, think about how little of your lived life daily experience in which you engage in your 9-to-5 job or whatever business you conduct, your time that you spend in your communities and your neighborhoods, your associations, your activities, your sports, your entertainments, how much of that really is determined and defined by what goes on in the power centers of our society? And yet at the same time, think about how much nowadays we allow our minds, our emotions, our attitudes, our behaviors, our relationships with each other to be defined by what's going on in terms of distant power centers and what we're hearing, not in our conversations with each other, whether it's over a pint, whether it's in the backyard, whether it's at our children's soccer and baseball games, but instead we're allowing what we're seeing in these through their screens, whether it's television screens or through our Facebook and Twitter feeds, we allow it to define us, and I find that concerning.
You mentioned in your essay your neighbors probably aren't supervillains. You say social media is the preferred venue for a lot of virtual heroics by people with what Roger Waters once called the bravery of being out of range, because they can indulge their hero syndrome without risk or sacrifice.
Right. So in Superhero Ethics, in my book, I look at the ways in which these fictional characters represent different qualities and different issues or struggles that we all face in our lives, to try to see how, you know, the fictional portrayals of heroism are relevant to how we ought to live our lives daily as individuals, as citizens. And heroism, you know, properly so-called, does involve risk and sacrifice. does involve confronting some danger. But heroic characters also have good qualities of character that aren't quite heroic, but nevertheless are necessary in order for us to get along and build our communities up. But when we got to the point at which we start seeing ourselves and all of society as being divided between the noble and the base, or the heroic and the villainous, the enlightened and the ignorant, the virtuous and the vicious, those are not conditions under which our ability to get along like civilized fellow citizens, those are not the conditions that are conducive to that.
What are some of the good things that we can do to help put an end to this tribalism?
I almost recommend making an increased effort to just in your everyday lives, in the actual interactions you have with people that you know that you disagree with, to remind them and remind yourselves not to define your relationship on the basis of your strongest disagreements regarding matters that may well be, especially in an election season, things that people are trying to take advantage of you regarding in order to get power over you. But instead, most of your lived life experience is not through your screens. Most of your lived life experience is through your actual interactions with other persons in your life, and to prioritize that and focus on that a bit more.
And tell us about your book one more time.
Sure. So Superhero Ethics is about looking at these superhero characters that seem to be on our TV screens every night and a new movie every few months. Characters that have great lasting power. They've been around for decades, but are more now in some ways more popular than ever. Their continuing appeal and seems to suggest that they speak to us. They are products of America, the American imagination, the American popular culture. So they're grounded in the fundamental values that all Americans across the political spectrum respect. And we can look at hero characters in order to see versions of what we think we are at our best, or who we should be if only we were better, and how we might be better contributors to contributors to our communities and help each other out. And so I look at these characters in order to address those kinds of questions from a social, political, and ethical perspective.
And last but not least, do you have a web page where our readers can learn more about your political and superhero work?
Well, the book is available from Templeton Press, so they can go to the Templeton Press website to read more about the book there.
Very good. That is Travis Smith, Associate Professor of Political Science at Concordia University, author of Superhero Ethics. Thanks for joining us again on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you very much for having me back on the show today, DJ. I really appreciate being on Q&A.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
During the 2019 Subaru Share the Love event going on now at Findlay Subaru Prescott, Subaru of America will donate $250 to purchasers or lessees selected national and hometown charities. Over the last 11 years, Subaru of America and participating retailers have donated more than $145 million to help those in need. This year, the new 2020 Subaru models are driving it forward, like the all-new Subaru Outback, the most comfortable Subaru Outback yet, with a completely redesigned interior, a bold new Onyx trim level, and the same legendary go-anywhere Outback engine. For a limited time, buy a new 2020 Subaru Outback with as low as 2.9% APR financing or lease for as low as $265 per month. Complimentary maintenance is included. Share the love this holiday season at Findlay Subaru Prescott, doing our part to give back to the community and make the world a better place. Shop online anytime at FindlaySubaruPrescott.com.
For well-qualified applicants, lease a new 2020 Outback standard base model code LDV-01 for 36 months with $2465 at signing. Must take delivery from retailer by 1-2-20, plus tax, title, license, and $495 dock fee.
Gardening in the mountains can be challenging. For local tips and tricks, tune into The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane.
More cut Christmas trees will be sold the first week in December, but not all of them will be fresh. Tune in this week to learn how to pick the freshest tree on the lot. Guaranteed! We might even get into fresh wreaths and garlands. You'll be a fresh greens and trees pro after this week's show.
The Mountain Gardener, three times every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday at 8 in the morning, and again at 11 on Saturdays, on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
Arizona Lottery holiday tickets are back. With six new scratchers and a brand new holiday fast play ticket, you can conquer the hurdles of holiday gifting with ease. So say goodbye to parking pitfalls at the mall, gift wrapping mishaps, and gift guessing. Candles for your mother-in-law again? Really? With top prizes up to $250,000, Arizona Lottery holiday tickets make the perfect last-minute gift for anyone on your list.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Hey, you know, the Prescott Christmas Parade is this Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. We'll broadcast that live right here on KQ&A with Lindsay Draper and Gregory Scott. And while you're downtown, if you want to stick around a little bit, maybe have a nice meal in the downtown area, come out to the courthouse lighting ceremony starting at 6 p.m. I will be emceeing that with Ken Bennett. So that'll be a lot of fun downtown this weekend. Well, new movies opening this weekend at the Harkins 14 include Dark Waters, that stars Mark Ruffalo as the lawyer who uncovers DuPont Chemical's poisoning of the environment. Also, Parasite, that's a foreign language film. It's a Korean movie with English subtitles. A lot of critics, I mean a lot, are calling this the best movie of the year. It's about a poor South Korean family who infiltrates a very wealthy family's home and lifestyle. And you'll end up wondering which one is really the parasite. Playmobil the movie is essentially a 100-minute toy commercial. Pain and Glory, which will only be around a couple more days, is a pretty self-indulgent autohagiography of the esteemed director Pedro Almodovar, starring Antonio Banderas. You know, a lot of noted movie critics are hoping those films like Pain and Glory and Parasite can slide out of the best foreign language category. Now it'll be called for the Oscars the best international picture, and they hope they qualify for best movie. So that'd be a lot of fun to see. By the way, if you want to see another really good movie about parasites of the human variety and without subtitles, see the brilliant and very funny Knives Out. I'll tell you, the last few weeks between Knives Out, The Good Liar, and Jojo Rabbit, I'm telling you, three dynamite movies. Also, the Hollywood Reporter has listed what they call the 10 best TV shows of a decade. You know, this decade stuff, keep in mind, remember the millennium at the end of 99? Everybody had these best of the century lists and everything. Well, we're going to start seeing a lot more best, you know what, of the decade. Well, according to the Hollywood Reporter, the 10 best TV shows of the decade were number 10, Better Things on FX, number 9, Atlanta, also on FX, number 8, The Leftovers on HBO, number 7, Halt and Catch Fire on AMC, number 6, BoJack Horseman on Netflix, number 5, 30 for 30 on ESPN, number 4, Breaking Bad from AMC, number 3, Mad Men from AMC, number 2, Rectify from Sundance, and number 1, the Amy Poehler comedy Parks and Recreation, which is the only one in the top 10 on a broadcast network, in this case, NBC. The reporter Daniel Feinberg from THR says the 10 runners-up for best TV series of a decade include Fargo, Fleabag, Review, The Americans, Better Call Saul, Orange is the New Black, Game of Thrones, Hannibal, Justified, and Louie. And you know, if you talk to Hollywood screenwriters, you'll find out that writing for commercial network TV is one of the hardest jobs imaginable. It's a lot easier, or a lot tougher, I should say, than writing for cable, because when you're writing for a network TV show, advertiser supported, of course, you have got to create an ebb and flow every 11 and a half minutes to allow for that TV commercial break. And you've got to give the viewer a reason to come back and stay with you through that break. So you have to peak every 11 and a half minutes and then bring it back after that commercial break, which you don't have to worry about much on cable, especially premium cable. The other reason the best writers are moving to cable is because if you're a writer for a network TV show or for a movie, you're basically treated like dirt. If you're a writer for a cable TV show, you're called the showrunner, and you have all sorts of power to have it done your way, and that's why the best writers are ending up working for the cable networks. Hey, if you saw The Wizard of Oz last night at the Prescott Elks Theaters, a few bits of trivia you might enjoy. You remember Margaret Hamilton. Of course, she was the Wicked Witch of the West. You know, she was a lifelong fan of The Wizard of Oz books, and she was just ecstatic when she learned the producers were considering her for a part in the film. She didn't know which part. When she phoned her agent to find out what role she was up for, her agent simply said, "The witch. Who else?" Ouch. Now, many of the Wicked Witch of the West scenes were trimmed or deleted because Margaret Hamilton's performance was thought at the time to be too frightening for audiences. And the famous Surrender Dorothy skywriting scene was done using a tank of water and a tiny model witch attached to the end of a long hypodermic needle. The syringe was filled with milk, the tip of the needle put into the tank, and the words written in reverse while being filmed from below. There was an added phrase to Surrender Dorothy, which was dot, 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 or die. That was cut before the movie premiered. Aren't we glad for that? Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro, followed by Talk of a Town Soup Scoop. Then join me back here tomorrow with my guests, local mystery writers Jerry K. Lincoln, Susan Lanning, and Sandy Nelson for a triple threat mystery roundtable. That will be Q&A Thursday at 2, and I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.